Good morning, everybody. It's hard for Jackie and me to believe that we left Bergen 30 years ago. Never mind. We were here 8 years while Dan and Mike were starting school. I remember writing a history of the Bergen campground out on the West Sweden Road and a history of this congregation. And I think I heard somebody in the back of the sanctuary say this morning, now he's history. The other half of the congregation said, who's that? And that's what happens after 30 years passes. A lot of other strange things happen. I remember leading worship from over there. Am I right? Okay, it's not just confusion on my part, it could be. And so it goes with the speed of life and the passing of time for all of us. Stephen Bertman's book, Hyperculture, reminds us to slow down and take notice of the world around us, to appreciate life moment by moment, to step back from the rush of everything that's happening, and be thankful. Jackie and I are certainly thankful for this church. And we're happy today to have our son Mike here with us and his boys, Cyril and Marty. They gave me instructions earlier to keep it short. Cyril and Marty did. Mike didn't say that. He knew better. We can identify with where you are right now in this time of transition from our own experiences of starting over, including arriving here in Bergen in 1980. I didn't like the math, by the way, with those coins earlier. That was, wow. Anyway, and leaving 8 years later, and from my experience as a district superintendent helping pastors and churches through these promising but difficult times. It's a time when it can be very hard to let go of the past and everybody is uncertain of the future. In a way, transition time is like the time you experienced in putting this beautiful new addition onto the church and the remodeling that took place here in the sanctuary. It's a time of stress when hopes and fears are high, a time when God can do miracles, a time when we can rejoice when we're not alone in this new venture. In John Wesley's last words, the best of all is God is with us. Pastoral transitions are hard for congregations. There is grief and a sense of loss for you, but also for the churches in Pavilion and Wyoming and Springville, who are also losing their pastors and looking ahead into the unknown. It's a time of letting go and of building new relationships. These transitions are also difficult for pastors and their families. There is grief and a sense of loss because the whole world is changing. It's a time when pastors and their families and congregations as well are especially vulnerable as they start over. And we have to recognize in a brand new way our need for God and for each other. When it's easy and natural to want to hold back and even go back until we learn once again that going back is impossible. It's an interesting story I'd like to relay about going to a church. Actually, it was before coming to Bergen. So this is a test of my memory. We had been in Batavia for a couple of years, and one of the things that I did there as part of my responsibility is I worked with our two youth groups. We had giant youth groups in those days, and had no idea that those days were soon to be over. So we had approximately 100 kids in the youth fellowship. Can you imagine that? After building relationships with those kids and their leaders, we moved to the village of Cattaraugus, where nobody knew me, where I hadn't built relationships with anybody, including the members of the youth group. And on the first Sunday that we were there, they had a picnic outdoors. And I can remember Jackie and myself sitting at one end of that picnic table, and looking down at the other end, there were two teenage girls who had a look on their face that I can't imitate, but I'll try. It was something like this. Absolute stone face. Who are you? Was the message. Now, the reason why I like to use that as an example for transitions is because those two girls became good friends of ours. They are still friends of ours to this day. They babysat for our boys, One of the girls and I sang duets a number of times. I took part in both of their weddings, etc., etc., etc. You do get through transitions, as painful as it can be. To go from 100 kids that I knew to not only two, but a whole bunch that I didn't know was really tough for that day and for more than that day, but we did get through it. What we may not realize is that it's also a time God can use to grow us spiritually as we learn to rely more on Him than on any human being, including our pastors. It's a time of great promise when our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There is hope, excitement, anticipation, and wondering. It's also a time when the church needs to be what Jesus prayed we would be, and that is united in His love so that the world will believe. I know of that all of you want to have this church have a thriving, positive, hope-filled ministry well into the future. So it might help to remind ourselves of the ingredients that will actually make for that kind of future. First of all, this is a time for recognizing and celebrating the different gifts that each pastor and congregation brings to ministry. Gifts that come to us in abundance from God, gifts that make possible everything else we do. As you are giving thanks for the gifts and the blessings Matthew brought to this ministry here, you will also discover the gifts and blessings that Wilson will bring to you. At the same time, Wilson will be noticing the special gifts God has given to this congregation, some of which he may have never seen before. And Matthew will be discovering the giftedness of the people in Springville. Since I have served both congregations, I know from personal experience how really gifted both congregations are. We should never expect that the gifts of one pastor will be the same as those of another. We shouldn't, but we often do. Any more than any one of you has the same gifts as anyone else in this room. Each of us is a unique child of God, uniquely gifted to serve Him as part of a complete body at a particular point in time. And we should never expect that anyone, including any pastor, has all the gifts. It doesn't work that way. Each pastor has his own special blend of God's gifts, and they need the gifts you bring to complete the picture. No two pastors are alike. We're a pretty peculiar bunch, I must admit. Yet somehow God uses the particular and even peculiar gifts we bring to accomplish His purposes. No pastor should imitate anyone else, and no pastor should ever be squeezed into someone else's mold. Transition time calls for humility in each pastor and each member of the congregation. Paul says in Ephesians 4:2 that God wants us to be completely humble and gentle. Humility allows us to appreciate the gifts of others and prevents us from overestimating our own. St. John Chrysostom, one of the great pastors and leaders of the early church, said, "If you are humble and aware of your limits and remember how you were saved, you will remember that all is grace, and so walk humbly." As Micah 6:8 puts it, we need to walk humbly with our God, but we also need to walk humbly with each other, to bring out the best in each other, and that's especially true of a new pastor and a new congregation. Going back to Ephesians 4:2, you and Pastor Wilson will need to be patient with each other. You'll need to have reasonable expectations of each other. And when there is misunderstanding, or if someone is, heaven forbid, less than perfect, have you ever had that happen? You will need to bear with one another in love. You'll need to stay connected with God in prayer and united with each other in faith, hope, and love. Paul says, beginning with Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Pastor and congregation alike will need to look to the Lord for His leadership and seek a clear vision of His purpose for this church, holding one another up in prayer. So I would ask you to pray for each other, and especially to pray for your new pastor. Pray for Matthew in his new situation. Pray that he will receive a wonderful welcome from the people at Springville, and that you will offer equally wonderful hospitality to your new pastor here in Bergen. That's certainly the kind of hospitality that we remember, and we cherish those memories. Recognize that God is the one who is finally in charge here. He's the one who will bring success to your church and its ministry. Don't expect Pastor Wilson to be God, and don't try to take up that role yourselves either. God is God, and nobody else is God. This is his church, and he cares about you and Wilson even more than you can imagine. Simple, honest prayer will do more than anything to build a strong and healthy ministry here. Genuine hospitality will demonstrate the reality of God's love in this church, and we'll get the relationship off to a great start. Finally, do all you can to encourage Pastor Wilson in his ministry. Help him to get off to a great beginning. If there is one thing that can destroy a ministry, in fact, that can destroy any one of us, it is discouragement. To discourage someone is to take their courage away. To encourage someone is to fill them with courage, to pour into them the strength of your own faith, hope, and love. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Nothing will strengthen a church more than a pastor who is feeling encouraged and built up by the congregation. More than anything else, encouragement is the key to a great ministry, and you hold that key. I'd like to give you an image that might help you picture where you are right now, and the very best way you can handle this time of transition. The picture is that of a relay race at a high school or college or at the Olympics. There are some ingredients in a relay race that are absolutely essential if there's going to be victory. One of them, of course, is the gifts and the efforts of each runner. Each person has to be doing their best in order to make for a successful relay. But there's at least one ingredient that's more important than that, and that is the handoff, the giving and receiving of the baton, or in this case, the giving and the receiving of leadership. A part of that takes place between the two pastors, the one who's leaving and the one who's coming in. There's a tremendous amount of communication and conversation that has to take place so that that handoff is successful. But a part of it also is the way all of you handle the transition and how you interact with Wilson in this case to make for a successful handoff. That helps to make the whole thing a success. And the other is the role of the crowd. I don't know about you, but what your experience might be in sports in school. I ran track for a couple of years in Spencerport, and we had, shall we say, less than overwhelming audiences or, you know, people there to cheer for us. Track was not the most popular sport in school, and we had a handful of people who would show up. They were usually family members, girlfriends, boyfriends, you know, just a handful of people standing around. But we knew where their hearts were. We knew they were with us, and their presence and their cheering for us, their clapping and whatever they did to show their enthusiasm made a tremendous difference in how we performed. So you have the gifts and the effort of each runner, in this case each pastor, the handoff, and then the role of the crowd. I wonder how often precious time and ministry gets wasted because some of us try to hold on to either the glories or the burdens of the past instead of walking in hope and faith into the future. Memories are wonderful, friends are wonderful, but we can't live in the past. If we try, nostalgia can steal our joy, our hope, and our future and rule our lives. And if the past holds any negative memories, now is the time to forgive and move on. Nothing holds us back like a refusal to forgive. As Paul says in Colossians 3:13, forgive as the Lord forgave you. The past is a necessary and vital foundation for our future, but it can never actually be our future. By the power of God's Spirit and faithfulness to Jesus Christ, you and your new pastor will build the future God wants for you. And by the way, when you and Wilson are moving forward together in the ministry here, and it's thriving, and all of us hear about it, Matthew and all your previous pastors will rejoice as we hear from a distance. Nobody wants to look back at a church they care about and see it fail or flounder. For we are not only runners in this relay race, we are also part of the encouraging crowd. So God bless you in these exciting days of warm remembering and boundless hope. Let us pray. Lord, we lift up our prayers for all of the pastors and churches that are going through transitions at this time. And especially we pray for Wilson and Matthew, for their families, for the congregations here and in Pavilion in Wyoming and in Springville, for all the dreams and hopes and also the fears and apprehensions that each congregation and pastor may have. May the power of your Holy Spirit rest upon each one so that the future can be all you envision it to be, all you want it to be for us. And may this be a time not only of anticipation and perhaps apprehension, but also a time of looking forward in joy and hope and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.